The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
The legend of Cayman Jack is just around the corner. Mixed with blue agave nectar, real lime juice, and cane sugar for the perfect balance of sweet, salty, and sour every time. Discover legendary taste with Cayman Jack, America's number one margarita. Premium flavored malt beverage. Please drink responsibly. All registered trademarks used under license by American Vintage Beverage Company, Chicago, Illinois.
We have a fine episode of UFC Unfiltered today. Matt and myself are joined in studio by Mia Kang for the entire episode, and it's a lot of fun. Where is it?
Jaws are dropped throughout this arena. Nobody is sitting down.
Chasing that finish. Elbows raining down.
Oh! On the button!
Are you kidding me?
Oh, he hurt him again!
He's out!
This is UFC Unfiltered. And now, your hosts, Jim Norton and Matt Serra.
Ah, what an amazing start to UFC Unfiltered. Yeah. It's the little things in life that give you joy. Like, for instance, when you're Matt Serra's on-air partner and you see him shaking a Splenda into his coffee and he drops the package in.
Yeah, we're off to a fucking
Why does that make me so happy?
Well, I don't know. Maybe because I can't fish it out with nothing. Because you know what I'm going to stir this with? I don't know. My cock?
Go ahead.
What am I stirring it with?
I don't know. There's nothing.
No, it's okay, Christopher. It's okay.
I'll get you.
It's not like I didn't have a Pepsi.
Don't use the pen.
He got me. Well, what do you want me to do? No, I
do
what
dirty. People chew on that?
Oh, that's true. I didn't think of that.
I'll get you one.
I know.
I'm thinking I'm going against the man. I'm going to use your pen.
Yeah.
And put it in my coffee.
Whenever I would see chewed pens at work for Opie and Anthony, I would put them with the chewed end in my asshole. Yep.
What?
I would do that. I would always do that.
I was joking. What'd you just
I'm
say?
I'm dead serious. I would put the chewed end in my asshole and I'd put it back. I would say it on air. I'm like, whoever's been chewing them, I stuck them in my asshole. So
Jimmy,
good luck.
I bite my pens all the time.
I don't do that at all. I don't mind if you bite your pens, but don't.
Don't do that in here. I'm only joking.
Don't bite pens that other people are going
to
use.
I just did it to be silly. Oh, thank you. Oh, there it is.
How are you going to fish that out? But now the toxins from the fucking paper and the ink are all in your thing.
I'm not hearing nothing out of the
right.
Yeah, turn
it
right
up.
Ear.
Let me see.
Say something now.
I'm hearing something out of both ears.
Say something now.
Go on now.
You know.
How's that?
You know, wait, hold on. Because he's taking his earphones off. Don't take them off. This is how slow I am. You see, what just came out of my pocket before, Christopher?
A little Q-tip.
Yeah. So I'm telling you, I have a fucking ear thing. I'm on antibiotics. Oh. And I'm fucking, so I'm like, I can't hear nothing. Right. I got an earache.
That's why
I'm yelling, but I fucking, that's why I can't hear nothing.
What's wrong with your ear?
Come again?
I'd love to.
I get you.
What's wrong with your...
I don't know. It feels like a swimmer's ear. I'm on a fucking... My doctor lady's like, I just take amoxicillin or some shit. Right? That should clear it up. Come in.
I don't know.
Oh, is that you?
No.
Okay. Why are you yawning? How do you
feel? I'm tired, buddy. I'm a bad sleeper. I got apnea, so I'm always tired.
You know what's good for that? But you're such a straight
shotgun.
Edge. Fucking no, I think edibles are good for that. To be honest, with you.
Once you're asleep, even sleeping pills don't help. Because if you're asleep, you still keep waking up because you can't breathe.
Yeah, get one of those machines.
I have one. I just can't use it. I'm claustrophobic because my nose is stuffy. It's a whole circle of life.
Once you get, what do you got there in your hand, there, buddy?
My penis.
No, the other hand.
My balls. Mark Hunt, due to medical concerns, has been removed from UFC Fight Night Sydney on November 19th against Marcin Tybura. Fabricio Werdum, who fought this past weekend at 216, obviously. He's making a quick turnaround to replace Mark. Mark lashed out at Dana on Instagram. He goes, you
Dana?
Piece of shit motherfucker. Why you fuckers pull me from the fight? You get in another lawsuit, you fuckwit. You can kiss my ass, you bald-headed prick. You put that chicken shit bitch in and get fucked, cocksucker. So Mark's a little vague and ambiguous.
What he said?
Yeah, well, I wouldn't make that up. I'm going to say that to Dana?
Put that chicken shit bitch in and all right.
The bottom line is this.
Wow.
Mark will sometimes, you really never know where he's coming from. At this one, he seems perturbed. But he doesn't like Fabricio.
Or Dana.
I don't know what it is. About a month ago, he said, my body is fucked, but my mind is still there. I've still got my senses about me, and I know what's right and wrong, which is the main thing. You can hear me starting to stutter and slur my words. My memory is not that good anymore. I'll forget something I did yesterday, but I can remember the shit I did 2 years ago. Or years and years ago. That's just the price I paid, the price of being a fighter. Well, do we have any audio of him saying that?
Yeah, but I don't think that's great for his case.
I don't know where he's
that's not great
that.
For fucking...
Let's find... Oh, Mark Hunt speaks 217. Let's come on, let's get some production done.
Yeah, let's hear that.
Am I right or wrong, Matt?
Very right.
Well, we'll have to see.
Wait, hold on. Are we ready? Hold on.
Yeah, do you have that?
That's for Chris, the producer. That's just for Chris.
We have Mia Kang.
Because we were so... Who?
Mia Kang.
That's fucking... I can't wait to meet her. I cannot... All right.
I've never seen her.
Me neither. I thought we were ready. I'm looking at him. It looks like he's playing fucking Tetris over there or something. What are you doing on that side?
I'm looking for the clip.
A clip of him talking this.
I thought you had it ready for some reason.
You know what it is? He was going to the Yahtzee championships are being held this week.
Okay, go ahead. Go back to Yahtzee.
Chris has big money on the Yahtzee championships.
What are you wearing there? A Muhammad Ali shirt?
Yeah, why wouldn't I?
Are you a big fan?
Yeah.
I'm a Joe Frazier fan.
I like Joe Frazier too.
All right. I
interviewed him. He was a bit loopy.
What you think?
We talked to him for an hour. Well, he's dead now, but he was good for about a half hour. And the second half
made me fucking spit my shit.
What?
Well, you fuck. He's dead now. I didn't mean to interview him yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
You making shit come out of my nose. I didn't mean like right now, Jimmy.
No, he was great, but then at the end he starts singing Mustang Sally.
Did he start singing that?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, a bit loopy.
You see my Instagram? I had my grandmother singing the other day.
What was she singing?
You didn't see it?
I didn't. I don't really check Instagram.
You didn't hand me my phone, please.
Sure. You know what? It was an article that he wrote for a website.
Can we hear him talking about anything?
Oh, he's writing
articles. Said you can hear him stuttering, so I want to hear him talking.
Sure.
Oh, Chris.
Hand me that though. Because he
dropped not your water.
Dude, I'm fucking look how it's nice and neat in here. Are you trying to impress our guest today, Mia? Mia?
Yeah,
Mia.
It's Mia.
Let's call the whole thing off. I don't know what that is. It's like an old time lemon. I don't know what that's from, but go ahead. What were you saying, Christopher Deuce?
No, I was going to say, sure, I'd like it if she was impressed, but I like to think the studio is nice and neat all the time for you.
Yeah.
Well,
say one thing about he keeps a crisp studio.
Brody. Oh, wait, that's not me. That's
your grandmother was singing.
Yeah,
how
old she's
your
singing.
Grandmother? She's 90?
Listen, she's 92. And my grandfather's 98.
Wow, good genetics.
I got good genetics.
Good DNA, man.
That's why I just had some Splenda. My genetics will take care of me.
Good. 98 years old.
98. He just hangs out, and he just fucking once in a while he has a big like a iced tea jug type of thing that he just leans forward and fucking spits in. Ah, pah! Grandpa Benny, how you doing?
Does he chew tobacco?
No, he just spits it. I don't know what comes out. He's fucking 98. That's
98 years old.
But listen, so my grandmother, somebody's funny because they looked at this. They go, what is that? The Charlie and the Chocolate Factory? Because they're sitting down and she's singing. But here, ready? This is my Mama Mia. Oh, wait, hold on. No, fuck this.
Oh, come on, Matt. What are you doing? Let me see what she looks like.
Wait, hold on. Because she gets, I try to interrupt and she gets mad at me. Wait, hold on. We're going to. Oh, wait, hold on. No, I'm ruining it.
What are you doing?
Well, I'm trying to get it ready for you.
Go ahead, buddy.
You ready?
I am.
Sorry. So this is my Mama Mia. She's 90. My grandmother. I called her Mama Mia my whole life. I don't know what the fuck for. They told
You're
me.
You're tired.
But this is her, and she's singing, and it's her wedding at 74th. I said 74.
It's good, Grandpa Benny.
Isn't that great? Yes? Everybody, that's my grandmother. Yes, 90. Oh, stop it. 92 years old, everybody. Oh, yes. I'm so proud of her.
What was she singing?
Yes. The song sucked, to be honest with you.
Yeah, it was not.
I don't want to hurt her feelings, but, change the fucking record already. She's 92. You know how many times we heard that song? Mama Mia, change the record.
Wait, what is she? She was what the hell is she saying?
See, what a coincidence. I got a Mama Mia I seen yesterday. We got Mia coming in today.
We do. It works out really nicely.
Tell me about Mia.
Here, well, hold on. I got an Octagon interview with Mark Hunt we can listen to.
Wait, hold on. What was she saying?
What are we
listening to here, Jimmy? Jimmy has, now Jimmy wants to play something. This is fun.
There she is. This is Matt's grandmother.
She sang that next. Yeah. Oh, that's at every one of my freaking
I love the old guy.
I love, yeah. He's pointing side to side. I wish I knew the words.
Yeah.
But I don't. It's fun. Oh, it's fun. Yeah, take my phone back.
By the way, I just want to say, like, along with this Mark Hunt stuff, the UFC has not made an official statement on this. Mark Hunt is obviously claiming he's lashing out at Dana. He's saying the UFC pulled him, but I don't know.
You know what's not good for his whole case with the getting past the medicals? The whole, it's good to be honest, but I mean, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't remember what I had for breakfast, but I remember what I had two years ago for breakfast.
I'm slurring.
Listen,
stuttering.
Man, I know you're a warrior. This is the price I, well, then maybe it's time to walk away. Don't get me wrong. I'm not as much as him, but I'm a big Mark Hunt fan.
Yeah, of course, everybody's.
Mark Hunt is a fucking, he's a kicking little beast. Imagine I like him too because
he's chubby and dangerous, like me.
He's
I like
dangerous.
That. He's dangerous and a little chubby.
This reminds me of Cain Velasquez was supposed to fight. They pulled him from the fight when he gave an interview and he said, "I can hardly sit. Like my back is killing me." Yeah, and then they were like, "You know,
these guys got to learn to, you know, maybe
bullshit."
Just it's like that him. Scene from. What's the powers was like, zip it, zip it, zip, 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 zip. I don't know. I can't. Shh. What do you do? Shush him? I don't know. Did anybody see the movie?
Yeah.
All right. What else?
You want to hear?
Yes.
Okay. So this is Mark Hunt after his most recent fight, I guess, over Derek Lewis.
All right. I'm here with your winner, Mark Hunt. Mark, you've done just about everything there is to do in a combat sports career. But here, your birthplace, your family ringside, where does it stack up for you?
It's pretty good. A pretty good feeling, you know. You know, I know Derek Lewis is from the hood, but this is my hood. I run this joint.
Caleb, your oldest son, is here. Caleb, what's it like to sit octagon side and watch your father in another amazing performance?
It's pretty hard, but nah, it's good. It's a different feeling. It's unreal here. It's good.
Mark, obviously, he started to fade in the later round. You started to work the body. Did you sense the finish was coming?
It's a matter of time, and Derek's a tough guy. I respect him because he doesn't use steroids. But I don't think so, but you know.
I like that.
Yeah.
Boo steroids.
I think we all need a band together to get rid of steroids in our sport and to make it an even playing field, you know what I'm saying? So, but I want to thank each and every one of you guys for coming to support.
He sang fine to me, but I mean, again, maybe he's talking about it in real life. Yeah. I like Mark Hunt, though. And I like the fact that he gave props to Derek Lewis for not...
Yeah,
and he calls anybody out.
And hold on, just so I'm on the same page as everybody listening and in the studio. Why did we just listen to that?
Because Mark Hunt had said, "I asked for audio." No,
okay,
I'll
audio or what? His last victory speech?
No, just any time of him talking recently.
Oh, that's why. Was I here?
Yeah, I wanted to hear that just to hear if you could hear the stutter or the slurring.
I thought we were playing some him.
Chris made a perfect example, a terrible example.
That was a terrible.
Terrible, because he sounded crisp and clear.
I'd pass him the fight.
What was that, 1998 that he had?
What the fuck was that? Brian Stan retired from fucking ring. Was that his last fight?
I don't know. It could be. That's a good question.
By the way, we should say that Dana has said that negotiations between Cyborg and Holly Holm, not finished, but Dana said, I think we're going to get there. So obviously they're going well. I mean, I don't think Holly is probably that difficult.
That's a great fight.
That's a great fight.
That's a really good fight.
You can't underestimate Holly Holm either.
I'd like that, and I'd like there'd be two totally different fights because style wise, it is totally different. But I'd like Holly. I'd love to watch Holly Holm versus Cyborg, and I'd also love to watch Kat Zingano versus Cyborg. And again, Kat and Holly are just total two different styles, but. It'd be like a bull versus a bull versus, or else it's going to be like the bull versus the matador, you know, versus Holly. But either one is an awesome fight, Jimmy. Awesome fight.
Yes.
Kat's going to get to fight her, I think, at some point, right? Because people just aren't lining up to fight Cyborg. So if she wants to.
Well, what's the problem with the whole, why aren't they trying to make that? why are they trying to make?
Maybe they figure Holly's
don't get me wrong,
I like
the Holly fight, but. If they're having trouble with it, I mean, Kat's been open about fighting. Is Kat healthy?
Kat isn't 100% healthy, I'm pretty sure. And also, I think because of the way that the Jermaine Holly fight went, where it was sort of controversial and close, and then Jermaine gave up the title. So I think it just feels like Holly is in the.
They kind of feel like Holly's a little closer to that than maybe Kat.
Oh, okay. I understand that. I'm just thinking about what I'd like to watch, but I wasn't really thinking about how they've been doing lately.
And you heard about Henry Cejudo, he broke his ankle. He was, I guess it was a second-story balcony. There was a massive evacuation in California due to the wildfires.
Holy shit.
I know. It's like, you know, Henry's an athlete, so you just think he must have just landed on it wrong, or maybe he's on a hill or something.
Right.
Well, he jumped off a balcony?
Second floor, though.
No, well, I mean, you know.
You could always dang that, man.
People hurt their fucking...
That's
people,
what I'm
people hurt their ankle in a pothole.
Yeah.
Motherfucker.
That's because you don't see it coming, though, and you know you're jumping off the balcony.
Yeah. No, that's true.
Da, 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 da. That fucking song's in my head now. It is. Godfather song.
It is. I love that.
They're saying he did not suffer a broken ankle. He suffered burns on his right foot, but he did not break his ankle.
So burns? Yeah. Jesus Christ, how fucking late to jump was he? What was he? Fire?
Wait, what did he jump on? Hot coals or something?
Jesus Christ.
No, there's wildfires in California, so I guess he was late to evacuate wherever he was.
Jimmy, were you tired on our last show? You weren't. But after we left, were you?
I think so.
Because you wished me a happy, have a good weekend, you told me, when we were leaving the subway.
Oh, you know what it is?
And I go, wait a minute. When you left, it was me, you, and my buddy, Sensei Nardu.
I can't remember what I did yesterday, but I can remember what I did years and years ago. I mean, I guess that's just the price I pay, the price for being a fighter.
But you're not, what?
Oh, sorry, I just quoted Mark.
Oh, okay. Oh,
shit.
I was going to say, you have a lot in
common. Oh, shit.
Oh, shit. Yeah, Jimmy! I just like to spice it up. We need some different sound effects.
I know.
In here.
Come on, Chris.
Can you come up with different sound effects?
Yeah, like this.
What do you want?
Let's use this one.
Oh, why don't we get one of those? Womp, womp, womp.
Yeah, or the X. Like this Family Feud X. Okay.
You like the Family Feud X?
I love it so much.
Tell me how that would use that in a situation in here. Something like maybe I would say, "Be me for a second.
Okay.
Act like me.
Okay."
And then
Jimmy, you went out with that girl. She fuck you. I hit the button.
Yeah. Okay. All right. And now all right. An X could be fun.
Sure. Oh, Mia Kang.
Where
is that? How you say her name?
Yeah.
Is she coming in?
She is. Yeah.
Or are you just waving to somebody?
What's that?
Mia Kang.
She very pretty.
Her name's Mia Kang.
Yes, and she is very pretty.
It sounds like something out of
Mortal Kombat.
Yes.
That's her real name though, right?
Yeah, that's her real name.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not familiar with Mia.
Me neither. And neither is anybody on UFC Unfiltered, but they're going to be.
Yeah, I'm sure a lot of them are.
Oh, I'm sorry. Maybe all that.
No, she's a... I think people are probably familiar with her, but she's a really interesting
Well, listen, what do I do? I just do some Kimuras in the morning, and I come be hang out with Jimmy, who's playing footsie with me. Jimmy,
I didn't mean to.
Should I move my feet? I'm
too comfortable. Nah, you leave him right there in my space.
But I am just obnoxious, right? But I like to get comfortable, Jimmy. Too comfortable. I don't feel comfortable on the toilet here anymore. I said that before we got on air.
That's right.
Because the curtain, it doesn't cover the window.
Right.
We're in the fucking Manhattan. There's
That's
windows
the only
across.
Reason I like it.
There's windows across that could see. If they're not seeing you sitting down, they can see maybe when you're cleaning.
Yeah, because the way Matt cleans is he puts one foot on the windowsill and he aims his anus backward and he fucking scrapes it with a wet towel.
Well, first of all, how do you know the way I clean?
Because I'm in that window.
You haven't seen
I've been fucking putting videos
and the best
up on
is I tell Chris the producer, he goes, but you can't see in that window. They can see through.
Of course they can. It's a window.
He didn't say that back. But they could, because you see a reflection. So he goes, look, I can see myself. I go, Chris, they see it's like a two-way mirror because the sun is that way. I wish I had that thing right now because I'd be like, nyeh, nyeh, nyeh.
All right, look, before we get Mia in here, this is a new sponsor for UFC Unfiltered. We know our listeners are going to like this one. You ready to save some money and play more games? Of course you are. It's a stupid question. Let me introduce you to our new sponsor and our new friends, Gamefly. Gamefly is the best way to buy and rent all your favorite games. At Gamefly.com, you pick your favorite games and you have them mailed directly to your door. Gamefly is the leading video game rental service, over 9,000 titles to choose from. They let you try your favorite games and movies before you buy them, which is great. You can keep the game as long as you want. You're never going to have to worry about late fees, and you can cancel at any time. What do you want? What do you want? People just to show up and hand them to you? It does not get any easier than this. Oh, and Gamefly offers new movie rentals too. Go to Gamefly.com/UFC. You start your free premium 30-day trial today. The premium trial, it lets you check out two games and or movies at a time. You can only get this offer by visiting Gamefly.com/UFC. Keep me and Matt employed. This way they know you got it from us. Now you go sign up and you start playing all your favorite games absolutely free for 30 days. What else do you want? Where's her water? Oh, that's her water.
Yeah.
Oh,
shit.
How are you, Mia?
How are you?
Come on in. We got that seat from you.
There.
How are you? Yeah, come on in. Who is this, your assistant?
My publicist.
Oh, how are you, publicist? Don't be shy, publicist.
She's very not shy.
Okay.
Who were you here for last time?
I said the same thing?
Yeah, I was here with Jesse Graff.
Oh, Jesse Graff.
Oh, you were. Okay. Look at that.
Was I here or no?
No.
You weren't here.
I was not. Okay.
Wait, who was here with me and Jesse?
Phoenix.
I'm Phoenix, sorry. I didn't really get a good look at you. Good to see you again. All right. And nice to meet you, Mia.
Nice to meet you, too.
Mia, do you watch MMA at all?
I do, yeah.
Were you training what? Muay Thai?
Muay Thai, yeah. Yeah.
And you had a fight.
Correct, yeah.
How many do you have?
One pro.
How'd that go?
Great. I won third round TKO.
Yeah? Did you enjoy it?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, I loved it.
Kicks or punches?
Punch. One big right hand, yeah.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah.
What made you want to start doing martial arts in general? Did you start with Muay Thai?
I did, yeah. Well, so I was born and raised in Hong Kong, so it's very prevalent in the culture. But to be honest, I tried Muay Thai first for fitness, just because it's a phenomenal workout.
Yeah.
And then I fell in love with it, became obsessed with the technique. And,
okay.
And then I really liked what martial arts was doing for me and the things that I was learning. Obviously, being a model, it's a very narcissistic, ego-driven industry, and martial arts is so the opposite of that. It's like learning to let go of your ego, and it's very humbling, and it's, you know, so I really loved what it was doing.
Don't you worry about getting kicked in the face or punched in the face?
I actually, so everybody asked me that, but I actually don't. I really don't. It's not like I'm particularly thinking of. I think that's a thing. When you step into a ring and when you're practicing martial arts in general, you let go of your ego. It's not something that I'm conscious about more so than any other person.
So you're raised in Hong Kong. How old were you when you left?
17, born and raised in Hong Kong.
So English is your second language?
My first.
Is it in Hong Kong?
Yeah, because it was British colony. So it's all right, street signs, everything's in English, everyone speaks English.
Oh, it is. And you
I went to a British school.
What do they speak Chinese there?
Cantonese, yeah.
Cantonese, okay.
Yeah.
I have no grasp of any other language, but I'm always fascinated by people who speak two languages or more. It fascinates me. I can't do it.
It's definitely like certain people have the brain for it and certain people.
I guess it is a certain brain kind because I've tried, took 2 years of French in high school and I stunk. I had
Isn't it a lot easier when you're growing up that as a child? Or?
Yeah, I think when you're exposed to.
Did you speak both growing up or was it only English?
So my mom is Korean, my dad is British.
Okay.
So I grew up being bilingual there. And then I went, when I was an adult, I put myself through Cantonese school because I thought it was embarrassing that I born and raised in Hong Kong. I didn't speak the language. So.
Right. Is it harder to write or speak it?
Right. I don't know. I didn't bother with the writing.
You didn't?
No. Isn't it speaking, listening?
Is it like a lot of like this, like I watch sometimes writing and like, is it like,
pictures? Yeah. Yeah.
I'll look at that and I'll go, how does human beings communicate? Like when it's not your language, you're like, I don't know how anybody makes sense of
it. It's remarkable. It's fascinating. It is actually really fascinating.
Is it left to right?
Traditionally, it's up down.
Up down, okay.
Yeah. But no, I don't think anybody really does that anymore.
You know what's strange? When I look at, when I see like the writing and that, like you're saying, it's like pictures. Hey, listen, I write sloppy enough my handwriting. You got to be like an artist to make write a paragraph.
Yeah.
Or maybe I'm just very special.
Well, no, but if that's all you know, then you do it with precision. Like the precision is a part of the learning. So since that's all you know. It's a different perception.
I can't comprehend how anyone can look at that and make thoughts out of it. It's just, to me, it's like Gene Simmons talked about, he was trying to learn Mandarin Chinese, which he said was like a really, really hard language.
Yes.
And I guess the writing is even.
Well, yeah, it's also crazy because of the tones, right? So
right.
I think Mandarin has 6. I think Cantonese has 8. So one word can have 6 or 8 different meanings. So like just depending on the tone that you say it. So you can have like hi, 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 hi. Hi. Like, and they all mean extremely different things.
And the subtle
difference in the tone of the raising tone, falling tone, flat tone.
What's a word in Cantonese that has like completely different meanings by different tones?
The example I gave you, hi.
Hey, how's it going? Okay, yeah, so what does that mean?
Like saying it like in that? One particular tone means vagina and saying it in another particular tone means like king or something.
Wait, wow.
Like,
well, okay. Which way means?
I don't.
Does
don't
it mean
actually,
hello or no?
Hold on. Don't tell us. But me and Jimmy, just say vagina king. But don't say which one's a king, which one's a vagina.
I actually don't know the.
All right.
I know the difference. Hi. That's the king. Hi. That's the vagina one. I figured it out.
The creepy one.
How do deaf people do it? Like if you speak that language and you're deaf, there a sign language in Cantonese? Like there is in English and
well,
Spanish.
Well, isn't sign language a universal language?
I don't know.
I think it is. I think it's universal across all.
Okay.
Yeah.
But how does it cover the tone? If two different things mean different, like tonally, that must be hard. Is there a way that they can sign it where you'll understand the tone?
Well, they just have their own sign. Like, sign language is just sign language. Just is what, like, across the world. Right? Get what I mean?
So, like, you know, I'm going to eat is the same in every language, sign language.
Yes.
Okay. I don't know.
I'm not a linguistics expert, by the way, but we're all figuring it out.
Compared
we're all
to
bouncing
us,
ideas
are.
Off each other, and we're figuring it out.
Well, I was just curious, because, I was wondering, like, you left Hong Kong when you were 17. Where'd you go?
I went all over the place. I was full-time modeling. I was taking up contracts around the world. I went to, like, Tokyo, Singapore, Paris, London. And then I was based out of London for, like, 7 years. Then I moved back to Hong Kong. Then I moved to the States 2 years ago.
Oh, just 2 years ago.
Yeah, I'm relatively fresh off the boat, you know?
And you're in New York.
Yes, I'm in New York. I'm starting to do the New York LA thing now. I like LA.
You do like LA.
I know. And you know what it is? I think because I was born and raised in Hong Kong, live in London, live in New York, all these hectic cities. Now that I'm like, ooh, what is this? Slow, large, everyone drives, good weather. It's nice, right?
It's hard not to like LA.
LA is very nice.
But you're taught that you're supposed to hate it as
yes,
a New Yorker.
That's what I felt like I was conditioned to hate it.
I heard the people were a little...
I know, that's what everybody says.
So I meet more assholes in New York than I do in LA, that's
really?
For sure. Yeah.
Now, where do you meet them? Just are you just saying in general?
In podcast studios?
Besides podcast studios.
No, in general. Just like there's... You know, a lot more crazies and weirdos in New York, I feel.
That's because you're crammed into a small area. Like, LA is phony, but it's only because it's show business. And show business people, you have to, it's kind of a fake business.
Show business in Hong Kong, in New York is equally as phony. It's,
absolutely.
It's just, yeah. The business is not
how much time right. How much time did you spend in New York?
What do you mean?
In general, 2 years? Like living here, just
I've
2 years?
Only 2 years,
okay.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So your experience in the 2 years is that there's more crazies here and other
absolutely.
People. And how much time did you spend in LA?
Not long. I'm starting to spend like all chunks right. of time, but more and more.
Right.
But it's
LA's you get to the
really
2 year mark.
Me.
You get to the 2 year mark, and then you say, "All right," and then you put it on a scale, maybe. No,
yeah.
Unless I'm just one of those New York assholes. You
are
never
you,
know.
You're a real New Yorker, like
no, I'm from Long Island. I wasn't born in Manhattan or anything, but you know, I pretty much.
Yeah.
I mean, I was born here, but you know, I like it. There could be some assholes here.
I like it. I mean, I like it. Yeah. I really do. One thing that, because I did grow up in Asia, I'm not a cold weather
person. That's a big thing. That's why a lot of...
And it's a big thing.
That's why all the jiu-jitsu guys, when they came over from Brazil, they started setting up camp in LA and
Miami
yeah.
And
yeah. But I get it, yeah. Right? It's literally it's your happiness.
Well, I never knew anything different. It's weird. I was thinking about that the other day. I like the change in the seasons. I like when it's Christmas and it's snowing out. People hate the snow.
Yeah,
I don't mind the
it.
Snow. I don't mind going out
yeah,
there and cleaning off my car after I have a weed brownie. I mean, listen, I try to find I make
then
the
he's
best.
Just putting it from the back window to the front.
Listen to me, one time I'm not gonna do it now because I got the new Tahoe I'm so happy about. But my old car, I had so much snow on my hood. And I had maybe too much of whatever I had. So I'm like, you know what? I'm trying to get it off with the what do you call the thing? The
like the brush or whatever.
Yeah, the brush thing with the thing. I always break the. So I just took my shovel and I go, you know what? I'll just get a little bit above. I scraped the fuck out of my hood. It's not a huge, big, great story, but all
I
know
say,
is
that was a riveting story.
Yeah, oh, no,
that was great.
All right, let's go back. Let's get back to your Hong Kong stories. Come on, come on, Mia. Listen, come on, Mia. Entertain us. Tell me though, Mia, what was it like growing up in Hong Kong? And I heard you were bullied. Because you were a little...
I was
you were,
major bullied.
Tell
yeah.
me about that, Mia.
I grew up a very overweight and bullied. Not an easy childhood
yeah.
at all.
How tall are you?
Okay. I'm 5'10". 5'10",
so you were big and you were...
I was big, yeah. Oh. And I was very bullied. And when I was 13, I halved my weight.
How'd you do it?
But terrible. I stopped eating, but I was so young, I didn't know what I was doing. You know what I mean? Oh. I actually got told by my doctors that I was at risk for diabetes and things because I was really overweight.
What
and
were
I,
you eating back then?
And everything. And my food and then other people's food. Oh, so I was just eating a lot. I was just overeating. I was very, it had a difficult household. I wasn't, there was no one around. I didn't, I was never really taught nutrition or.
Why difficult? They were both working?
We're
fighting.
Alcoholism and my dad was absent. He was working a lot and just, I wasn't. I didn't have the traditional household and was
so your mom was a drinker.
I figured it out. I was trying to figure it out by myself and I just ate whatever I wanted to eat whenever I wanted to eat it and I was overweight and definitely there's some emotional aspect in that too.
Was that the escape? Like your mom's drinking, your dad's gone and like you're feeling bad. So you, just kind of the comfort.
I guess you fill a void, right? You try and fill with the fill with happiness.
I'm laughing because when we're talking about like being like a fatty or something. She's like, what are you talking about food? She's looking at me. She's like, I guess we just fill a void. What?
Did I do that? Did I really do that? I am so sorry.
I'm only kidding. You were a fatty. I am a fatty. Listen,
no, you're not. You know what I was going to say out loud earlier on, but I didn't.
I guess we fill a void, don't we, sir? Don't we, my...
What I was going to say earlier is like your... This is my sound bizarre, but whatever. I don't... care. Your forearms are like so sizable.
Oh, thank you. You should see my calves. I should have worn shorts today, Mia.
Maybe you should have. But what were we talking about?
My forearms. No. We were talking about
escaping with food.
I was 13 and then I stopped eating and I didn't do it on purpose. It was just I saw results and I didn't know what I was doing to myself.
People were teasing you?
People were teasing me. Yeah. I didn't know what to do. I saw results when I stopped eating. I just stopped eating. And then I got scouted as a model immediately. So literally in a couple of months, I saw, you know, the boys that were bullying me and making my life hell every single day were then asking me out on dates.
Did you go out with them or were you vengeful and said
no? I didn't. Yeah, of course I didn't. But I didn't really understand. I felt like nothing had changed. I was the only thing that changed was a number on a scale. Why are people treating me so differently? Why am I now? I was like on billboards and I was modeling and I being so young, I didn't really understand it. So I learned that lesson very, very young that you know, the world is very superficial.
Do you have a weird, because I've lost weight too and I find like these weird body image issues people have. Do you go through that now? Like, yeah, you're beautiful, but it doesn't always matter what people say. It's like, do you look in the mirror and go like, oh fuck, this has got to be fixed or that's wrong?
Let me tell you, I'm 28 years old now, 27 years of my life, I can honestly say I looked in the mirror every day and hated what I saw for 27 years. And that's partially because being a model since the age of 13, that's all I knew. And you're living under this judgment and this scrutiny every day to be a certain way.
Right.
So you constantly criticize, you're never complimented. Well, you know, people think we're the most secure people in the world, we're the most insecure people in the world. Because you're under so much judgment.
Yeah.
And every single day I'd wake up in the morning, look in the mirror and think, it's not good enough.
Really?
And really only after I fully got myself involved in martial arts.
That's a year ago.
Yeah.
Wow.
When I really was like kind of submitted to martial arts and was learning a lot that I first became happy with myself.
The martial arts have so many benefits. Not only the physical but mentally.
Yep.
For anxiety, for... depression, just so many things.
So many things. And I wish I'd found it at a younger age. And I definitely would, I'm definitely going to encourage my kids to get involved.
How many kids? Do you have kids?
No. I'm talking about my future
kids.
The kids that I will have.
Yeah. All right, fair enough.
Yeah.
Plenty of time. She's 28.
Well, yeah, but you never know. She's my kids, so I don't want
to... Relax. Just don't... So much pressure.
Jibby.
You know,
she's already
met.
Claiming them. Wow. She doesn't say someday, my kids. I'm like, look, maybe we will, maybe we won't. I don't know. Can I not speculate?
You just met. Take your time. So smooth,
it's a fair
Jibby.
Question. Yeah, so what? Smooth. It's a fair question. So you find the margin. Is food for you... Like, I can't even enjoy bad food. Like, I'll eat something.
I could.
And I immediately... I mean, it tastes good.
I love the bad food.
But don't you feel... As soon as it's done, like, I like while I'm eating it, but then I literally think I can feel it in my stomach, and I'm like, you fucking fat piece of shit, and it's just that tape, that angry self-hating tape.
No, I love it.
And how long until you feel bad about it?
Well, see, that's something I'm also very different because I've suffered from literally decades of eating disorders that I'm programmed to eat and then feel the guilt,
right?
Or I'm programmed to, so that's something that I really do work on. But really, when you train so hard at that level, you learn that food is fuel for your body. Food is, which completely, I've lived my whole life thinking food is a reward for starvation.
Right.
And exercise is a punishment for eating.
So every day you'd wake up.
Way to look at,
I'm
yeah.
just dropping wisdom bombs like
it's crazy. It is.
What you just said, I'm actually, that's a good philosophy. And like, wait, that's the opposite of what you were saying. That you're saying that's a bad way to be. But I'm like, yeah, exercise is a punishment for eating. That's kind of how I look at it.
No, yeah. See, it shouldn't be at all.
The hell was I going to say? You know I got ADD.
It's okay. It'll come back to you. It always does.
That ship has sailed.
It goes and it comes. Matt's thoughts are like in a pond. They always come back.
Oh, they come back, gentle. Though. It is like a pond. It's float right back. They just come right back.
They come around. What's the hardest food for you? Like, what's the one? Like, for me, it's pretzels. Like,
ew. That's like the most boring food ever.
I'm a boring person.
I've actually tweeted that before. Pretzels are the most boring food.
Good, let me
in the
find
world.
That and block you. I happen to like pretzels.
That's funny.
I don't care for that pretzel bashing. That's
and then somebody, I remember somebody replied and went, dip them in peanut butter. I'm like, well, then you might as well just get a spoon and eat the peanut butter.
No, how about mustard? I eat mustard on everything. If you want the truth, if we're going to become friends and you want to know, I eat mustard on everything. I like a mustard on
this
pretzels.
This relationship isn't going to work.
It's going to work well because we'll be in the green room and we won't eat each other's shit. You'll be like, there's your stuff and there's your awful pretzels and mustard. And I'll be like, did you eat any? You'll be like, no, I hate that stuff. I'm like, good.
So wait. So 27 years, you'd look into the mirror and be like, ah, I got problems.
Yeah.
That's fucking, you're 28, so that's kind of a, are you a happy person in general?
Now, yeah.
For the last year?
It's been the most liberating year of my life, that's for sure.
And that's because you give credit to martial arts.
Absolutely. I give all the credit to martial arts.
Fuck yeah, you do. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Mia.
What did you? All I do. Like, what happened to you? One day, you're taking martial arts, and you just realize, like, I feel better about myself.
No, I mean, it was a process, right? And I was living in a Thai training camp, and I watched my body transform, and I watched my skills develop, and I felt strong, and I watched, you know, I could do things that I'd never thought I could do, even as simple as a push up. I could never do a push up before. I was some skinny, feeble girl, you know, and I was watching these changes happen. I was learning to love them, and I was getting rid of all the conditioning that had been done to me for my whole life. Like, I've been taught that, you know, thighs are bad, we have to have a thigh gap, we have to have protruding collarbones, you need to have your waist under a certain measurement, so you need to have your hips under 90 centimeters. All these things that we're really, since I can remember, since age 13, have been programmed into me. I was getting rid of
thigh
all
gaps?
Of them. Yep.
Those are
getting
awful.
Rid of all of them. And then watching the opposite happen. Developing huge muscles in my thighs, you know, and which is better because my kicks are stronger. And
sure.
All these things that I was then learning to love about myself until the point where I came back to, it was time to go back to work. And I came back to New York and I said, fuck you guys, this is how it should be. These are the women that we should be having as our role models. Happy, healthy, strong, confident, secure women with a message, role models, right? And I think I got very lucky with also the timing. I think that there's definitely a movement happening of female empowerment, and I think people are tired of seeing bony, skinny bitches.
Yeah, you know, man. I'm down with the plus size models.
Exactly. And, you know, then there's these amazing women like Ashley Graham who are pioneering movements like that and breaking boundaries. And I think that it's a good time. And I luckily, it's been received very well on my end, touch wood.
Oh, shit. Don't say that around this guy.
Yeah, okay, right. I was asking for it. Sorry.
Okay. I was going to ask you a question about the modeling. So you still do it, but what happens now that you just won't change your body if they need you to?
Absolutely.
Oh, this is also too, you're talking about the culture in modeling and losing weight and your thighs. Is there any type of, like, you know, Harvey Weinstein, this whole giant explosion scandal of him being a piece of shit for so long. Does that exist in modeling too, where there's nothing but young girls dressed in skimpy outfits? Is that culture prevalent there too?
Absolutely.
I always thought like a lot of the guys might be gay and not be involved with that, but there was also that predator type in that business.
Absolutely, yeah.
How do you avoid that? Or how do you combat that?
I mean, I think that girls, all girls, you need to have your head screwed on and you need to be switched on, right? There, no matter what industry you're in or just in life, you'll be tried to there are people that want to take advantage of you. You just need to be smart, right? And I think it, particularly in the modeling world, a lot of girls are from poor backgrounds who are thrown into this industry at such a young age. I mean, look at me. I started at 13. You get girls coming in from Eastern Europe or Brazil or whatever at age 15 you know, completely unsupervised and they don't know what to do. And they're, you know, it's a really tough industry and really, yeah. It's tough to be a chick. Man.
There's creeps out there, Jimmy.
I know.
There's predators out there.
I know.
There's crazy creeps out there. You know, and even I can kick butt. And there are still crazy creeps out there.
What do you mean? No, crazy creep. Do you mean a guy that's just aggressive with you or a guy that holds power over you in the business that's being persistent?
All of the above, really. Just,
a stalker.
That's a scary. Have you ever had a stalker?
Yeah.
I've had one on the phone and it was like, it's an enraging nightmare, but there was no fear physically. But for a woman, you got to be.
You have the fear. Yeah. You really do have the fear factor. Yeah.
You don't have to say his name, of course, but how did you know him? Was he somebody you knew or just some random person?
No, random person. And there's been a couple to the point where like, even especially now with the development of social media. So like I'll never really post about things exactly when I'm there and what, you know, because people could, they know your locate their time and your location. There's also, you know, like there's one in particular who is completely deluded that he thinks that we're in a relationship. So he writes me throughout the day, multiple times throughout the day, you know, acting as if I am his. I'll be home
for dinner.
Yes.
All right. I'm sorry.
It's been months.
I'm gonna stop.
Yeah, I know that.
I beat Jimmy to it. Sorry about that.
You went right for it. I tried to set it up like improv asshole 101. Always say yes. Fucking boo. Fucking Sarah right for it. But isn't it crazy how the people are literally delusional and. You want to sit down with them, but you don't. But you want to go, like, how the fuck do you think this is happening?
Yeah, but people think they know you sometimes when they see you a lot. That probably happens to you too, Jimmy.
In radio, it does, yeah, because they hear 5 hours or 3 hours a day, and it becomes a soap opera. They think they know you, but it is crazy.
Sometimes it's not bad, like for me at least, because people want to like give me hugs. But I'm a hugger.
Yeah,
I was there
again,
when you did
though,
this.
You don't have the fear factor. See, for me, I'm not that afraid. Like, I can fight. Like, worst comes to worst, you know, I can fight. It's fine.
Yeah.
But I'm not just going to welcome hugs from weirdos.
No, of course. Whereas, listen, it's obviously
whereas
it's
you,
different.
You can probably with those forearms and those calves, you could probably, yeah.
Oh, his calves are spectacular. I can say, and I have good calves. The Norton calves are good, but the Sarah calves, I mean, they put us to shame.
You got to show me your calves.
Maybe I'll show you another time.
I mean, this whole conversation is going a little sideways now, guys. Reel it back.
We'll do it another time. I'll show. I'll wear some shorts.
You're a guest. You can take control of this shit, though, if you want to. Guys, stay on course. What's the course? Tell us about your modeling.
Sorry, I'll stay in my lane.
No, go ahead, Leah. What is the end game for you now? You're doing the modeling. Are you looking to get another fight? Are you looking to break into Hollywood, Mia? What are you looking to do here? Tell us.
Okay. Wow. Okay. I'll tell you.
Tell us right now, Mia.
So, I've learned in this industry, you can't really plan things out right, because a lot of my success is determined on the opinions of other people. The modeling jobs I book, the acting jobs I book, it's really the opinions of other people. So I will see what happens in that sense. As to the fighting, really, this was my hobby. I don't need that as a career, right? I have a pretty good career going on, but it means a lot to me. Martial arts means a lot to me. Yeah. I want to keep fighting. I really enjoyed my last fight. I can't wait for the next one. There've been a couple scheduled that I've had to pull out from because of work. It's tough, literally having two, multiple careers. So the time management is a little, and then plus, you know, one of them I can't get hit in the face, and the other one I should get hit. So it's they don't cross over very well. So the time management is tough, but I have great teams behind me, and we're trying to work it out. But I want to do. Obviously, I'll have a U.S. debut at some point, and then, like I said, martial arts means so much to me that I'm so up for exploring, and I want to learn as much as I can. If that means that. That takes me through to MMA debut.
Do you watch UFC?
So I do, yeah.
Wait, do you do any jiu-jitsu at all?
Yeah, a little here and there. Yeah.
Oh, do you?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. Starting to get into it.
Because I was
going
to say, if you want to get into MMA.
Starting the jiu-jitsu and the wrestling.
Oh, so you're thinking you might want to do an MMA match.
Yeah.
I'm not putting you in any hot lights. I'm just saying. You're saying, because if I was going to say that's something, if you're going to, with the Muay Thai, you put a lot of time into that. With that, you're going to have to put a lot of time into the floor, obviously, you know?
Yep. I really want to learn.
My opinion.
And it's, I think it's very fascinating. Like I said, it's a genuine passion for martial arts.
Yeah.
So, so long as for me, listen, there's been a lot of attention around me fighting. Let's put it that way. That I want to make sure for me.
I'm surprised I didn't hear about it.
That this stage.
Where was this attention on the Twitter?
Well, I think since I went on Ariel Helwani's show, since I went on the MMA Hour.
Oh, and then there was a lot of attention?
Yeah. I think that was some attention.
And they're saying maybe Mia Kang, who sounds like, that name alone, though, it sounds like something out of Mortal Kombat. Mia Kang,
yeah.
Which is cool. You got that going for you.
You're lucky. You got like a very catchy name.
You have any cool nickname in mind?
Ooh. No, well, my like fight name is Killer Kang.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's so great. Yeah. And where do you train?
In New York?
Yeah.
I train with Crew Phil Nurse at the Watt. And I also train...
What did you say?
Yeah.
Phil Nurse?
Yeah.
I know Phil Nurse. I know him very well.
Great. So...
Yeah, good for me. Baby.
Shout out to Phil Nurse.
Yeah.
Hey.
No, okay.
And I train at Church Street as well. Okay. So...
Not a big fan of Phil Nurse, or are you?
Of course I am.
Okay.
Yeah.
I know Phil Nurse very well.
Yeah.
Okay. I told you.
I've never met Phil
and
Nurse.
You don't give a shit.
What do you mean?
I can tell you the story. Want to hear it? Not really? I'll tell you anyway.
Okay.
Okay?
Yeah, I want to
know. So Phil, I know Phil for like fucking ages, bro.
Oh, Phil Nurse?
Phil Nurse, the one she brought up and jumped right off. We gave him the shout out and then she wanted to go right to something else, but we're going to bring it back.
Yeah, Phil Nurse. Really, this is about us. No, this I'm kidding. I'm joking.
Oh, no. Oh, is it about you?
No, I'm joking.
No, but we're talking about your instructor, Phil Nurse.
Yeah. Go. Tell me the story. So, I'm dying to know.
Do you know him?
Yeah. It's going to be a little bit more entertaining than my Hood of the Car story.
I don't see how it could be. When you scraped the hood, it was fucking great.
So I met Phil when I was training back at Ray Longo's before I even started. When I just started my MMA career, he was very good friends with Ray Longo, my stand-up trainer. Right, so I knew Phil, and I was very friendly with Phil. I used to love seeing Phil, man. Phil taught Ray a lot of cool shit because Phil's a very good teacher. So I thought I had a relationship with Phil, and then I remember seeing like that years go by. I'm in the UFC. Every time I see Phil, we're cool. And then I had this big fight coming up versus George St. Pierre, and
isn't he GSP's trainer?
Oh well, listen to this, Mia. You can't wait to listen to the rest of this story.
Yeah, I know. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I know.
I'm like on the edge
of my seat.
It's riveting. Yeah,
I can tell. So anyway, I get a call from Ray. He goes, "Yo, Phil is going to be working George's corner." I go, "Wait a minute, our Phil that we're buddies with." I go, "That's my buddy. He's going to be working George St. Pierre's corner versus me." He goes, "Yeah." But he was saying that He goes, well, Ray's like, "You fucking believe that shit?" He goes, "This little fucker." He goes, "But," he goes, I go, "Man, I thought I'm buddies with him." He goes, "Yeah, he's trying to make it like it's just business." He goes, "Just business. This guy's looking to do bodily harm. He's going to help this guy look to do bodily harm for me." So I was very offended. So then he tried to talk to me the week of the fight. And let you, just to remind you, this was 10 years ago, Mia. You were a young kid in Hong Kong. But anyway, listen. At the time, everybody's thinking I'm walking to my death versus fight versus George St. Pierre. You know what I mean? It was a huge underdog, huge. You know about this, Jimmy. I'm letting Mia know, you know, just to keep her involved.
Yeah, I'm with you.
So then, you know, fight now. He tried to talk to me during the week. "I don't want to talk to you, Phil. You're in the fucking, you just drew a line in the sand." So let me sum it up. It worked out great for me. I was on top of George, beating the shit out of him. And if you look up on the camera, who do you see in the cage making a fucking funny face? Crew Phil Nurse making a face like, "Oh, fuck." He was just like, when Ralphie had the nuts go all over the place when he was changing the father was changing the wheel in Christmas Story, when he said fudge, and it was really fuck. That was his face. And he's just all depressed. And you see it in slow motion. And you see right above me beating George, right before George taps out, you see Phil's face. Like right where yours is now, Mia. And it's just making a fucking depressing. But anyway,
if
that's
only
my Phil.
We had a screen and you could pull it up at the same time.
So that's my
Phil
Norris. But I've seen him since and we're friendly now.
So you know what I mean? Okay, you got over
it. Yeah, no, I'm cool with him now.
You won the fight, I take it?
Oh, yeah, that went well for me.
Great.
Yeah.
Good.
But anyway.
Congrats. It's a decade late, but
thank you. Listen, it could. You know what? If Killer Kang, what was it?
Yeah, but it's with an A at the end, so it's Killer. Hey,
Killer Kang.
There you go.
Mia, what else we got going on? Do you want to be an actress?
Yeah, that's something that I am interested in.
Have you been in anything yet?
No, but I am starting to dip my toe into that whole
industry. It's a weird thing. Are you nervous doing it or no?
No, I'm not nervous doing it, but the industry is a weird, like Hollywood is a weird place. There's a lot of, like, it's a, I don't know if it's a culture shock, but you know what I mean? Like just sure. adjusting to a new industry.
Well, people don't, here's the thing. People say, oh, showbiz is phony. It really is. Like my manager will say things to me like, oh, Jim, they're big fans. I'm like, shut up. They're not. Yeah. They're going to tell you they're big fans because there's no advantage for them to go, they don't like me. Right. So you have to weed through who actually likes you and who's right. just saying they like you because that's the palatable thing to say.
Right.
Whereas in martial arts, it's very cut and dry. I'm going to punch you in the face. Okay, cool. In modeling, it's you look good. You don't look good. There's really very little ambiguity.
I see what you mean. Yeah.
Well, the acting is a weird... truth. A weird one to kind
it
of
is,
navigate.
It is a weird one, but you know, starting to get involved, let's see what happens.
Do you take class?
No.
She might be a natural.
Some people are. Some people are.
I've taken coaching, put it that way. Like I've done coaching, but maybe it's also because of my schedule that I can't have like a class schedule and follow. It's difficult for me to follow and attend a course.
So you're saying your plate is full. Even more full than when you were a fat kid. Just kidding, Mia. Mia, we have fun on the show.
That was a good joke.
Thank
that was
you,
actually
Mia.
A good joke.
Thank you. I was going to give an applause, but we're overdoing it with that shit. But your plate is very full. I mean, it sounds like it is.
Yeah.
Now, what do you like the most out of all of those things?
I don't know. I just like doing new stuff. So for me, if I'm going to be really honest, the... Like fighting's great. It's new. It's very. I've had a 15-year long modeling career, right? Over 15 years, 16 years now. New stuff.
But is it like when you model? Do you think like okay, modeling you could do it for a long time too. I mean, you look. There's certain models that work for years and years. Or do you look at like, hey, look, there's a cap on this as far as like fighting. There's like only so many years I can do this.
Definitely. Yeah. Definitely.
So what do you want to do after modeling? Like again,
we'll
fighting,
see.
You don't even know.
Yeah.
Do you have anything you want, though?
Yes, but I don't want to jinx things and, you know, we'll see what happens.
Are you superstitious?
Somewhat. I don't know if it's superstitious or just, like, Asian, if that makes any sense.
She doesn't know if it's superstitious. Wait, hold on. Or Asian?
Yeah.
What does that mean?
Yeah, is Asian
just,
culture.
Just, like, lead up to the fortune, like, you
Holy
know.
Holy shit,
we'll just...
fortune cookie shit. Let's talk about that. Are you?
Let's talk about being Asian.
No, about, oh, it's very, like, a fortune cookie. So you're trying to say whatever will be?
Yeah. So it's very Asian that you have a family fortune teller. Because your destiny is written for you.
I've never heard that.
Yeah.
This is interesting.
And your destiny is written for you. So whatever happens, happens.
So your fortune teller, do you remember what they said to you?
Yes. They say things that are very... like, they don't say specific things like you're going to have this fight against this person. You're going to win in this round. You know what I mean? But they say things like you will work in an industry that is dominated by women and things like that. Or
who is they?
The fortune tellers.
It's vague. They kind of languish.
You're
in
like,
vagaries.
You're like, out of fortune cookies.
Yeah.
It's vague. It's like the horoscope where they're technically, you will meet someone new today.
Exactly.
And then you're a Cancer and you're like, holy shit, this is real.
Exactly.
It's like, yeah, but everyone meets someone new. They kind of keep, like I've read horoscopes. It's like, yeah, this I'm a Cancer, but the stuff that's like, I'm a Sagittarius, that applies to me. It all kind of applies
to
me.
Yeah, it's very well written so that anybody can read it and anybody can take something from
it. Yes, your duality. I have duality. Like, they want us all to feel like special. Like, everyone has duality.
Right.
What kind of guys do you like? Do you like fighter alpha guys or are you like intellectuals?
I don't have a type.
Yeah.
I will tell you that. I do. If you lined up all my ex-boyfriends in a row, there's not one common physical thing at all.
Right.
But I definitely, intelligence is important. Humor is so important because I never want to have a boring day ever.
Yeah.
And honestly, I think ambition / greatness, you know, it's like being... You want to be exceptional. You don't want to just blend in with everyone else.
Because you work so hard and because you've been out there and you train, you don't want to date some lump who just wants to sit home and not have any type of an ambition to do anything. Because it's enraging.
Yeah.
Because then they start complaining about your schedule.
Now, isn't it weird? Now, you said you got bullied as a kid with being a little overweight. I got messed with. As a kid, Jimmy, you know this story.
I didn't like those.
Were you? Why? What were they? What did
I mean, I didn't have these forearms back then, or these calves. Yeah, I'll leave that to the imagination. The calves, but you know, I was like a skinny, silly kid in seventh grade, and my elementary school to my junior high, there was like a difference there. I mean, so as far as with a crowd. And I got fucked with a lot in seventh grade. But at the time, one of the most brutal times of my life. But then in eighth grade, I grew a little bit. You know, I took care of some business. But it molded me going through that shit into not ever taking any shit again. Mm-hmm. So, and I knew. I just made it like, you make it like a... Like pledge to yourself saying, all right, look, that's the last time I'm getting fucked with. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And then how many, like, whatever, broken noses later or something, you got, people don't fuck with you. Mm-hmm. Cause you're not an easy target anymore. But I always wonder, like, let's say I didn't go through that period. If you didn't go through that period,
right,
it doesn't make you the person you are today. Mm-hmm. So in that case, bullying's okay. No, I'm only kidding. But in that case, no, but Jimmy, I needed those assholes in my life.
You did, because you turned out okay. But a lot of times, like, people who are bullied, yeah, like, if they don't go into martial arts, or they don't, like, you got redemption, like, you're modeling.
Right,
you're
fighting. And like, in extreme cases, you get a lot of kids that take their lives, or that...
Or that shoot other people.
Harm, or yeah, they end up driving themselves crazy and go into depression, things like that. Some people can take it and are equipped to handle it, and some people can't. But I do think, though, that those of us who have taken it should speak up about it, and should, you know that even, you know... big scary fighters got bullied too, or even supermodels got bullied too, and I think just speaking up about it does make a difference in the grand scheme of things.
A lot of fighters got bullied. Like, you know, it's funny when you listen to Mike Tyson, he talks about being, he was kind of a fat kid, and he said that he would get picked on, and he had these pigeons, and he said one time somebody broke the neck of one of his pigeons, like an older kid, like, broke the neck and threw it on the ground and laughed at him, and he just exploded, and he beat the shit out of the kid for killing his pet. And that was where he started to learn how to fight.
Yeah.
It was like an explosion. He couldn't take being bullied anymore.
I still find that story so crazy, but mostly because of pigeons.
Yeah, I'm afraid to touch them.
As your pet of choice. Yeah.
I'm afraid to touch a pigeon. I don't know why.
Well, you got to think where he grew up and in the city where he was.
I know, but I can't worry about germs. I haven't worn a condom since 1985, but the pigeon should be fucking scared of me. But it makes me, I don't know why I'm afraid to touch a pigeon. Like, I see them landing on people. Like, how can you let that dirty thing land on you?
You see them as like flying rats, that kind of thing. They're the city vermin.
And they're not scared of you. That's the problem. I don't like the cockiness. They shouldn't. A bird should not be that comfortable.
I get you.
You know, a bird should be frightened of me as a dominant species, but they have zero concern. Maybe it's just me because I'm not physically imposing.
No, they'll look at you and then take like one step over, like, all right, fine.
They look at me as one of them. Like, all right, he's just a taller one of us.
They get real close.
Yeah.
Like, they do. You're right. They have no fear. It's kind of...
Where are you guys getting this interaction with pigeons?
In Manhattan all the time.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, my God. They're all over.
Fuck, man. We don't have them like that in Strong Island.
No, Long Island's right, like New Jersey or something. Like, you guys have the same type of stuff in Jersey. But in New York, it's nothing
but
pigeons.
Well, that's because everybody's in Central Park feeding them and everything else.
Not me. Not me. Washington Square Park, too, the same thing. There's just some guy with birds on him. It's like there's bird shit on you. It's like, how do you comfortably sit with bird shit on you?
Who the hell's sitting around with birds on them?
People will do that. They feed the birds climb on them. Yeah.
So you're not out there trying to feed them some of your pretzels and...
No, I don't share them. That's simply out of me being selfish. I like my pretzels. So do you have any pets?
No, I travel too much. I'd love to, but I travel too much. It would be unfair.
Same thing. That's why I don't have plants.
Same. That's also why I don't have plants.
Because they'll die to tree for
and
years.
And also because, I'm not going to lie, I don't really care for plants.
Really?
Yeah. I love flowers, but I'm not a real like plant... I would never look at a plant and be like, that's a great plant. Like, a plant's a fucking plant, you know?
Do you know, I don't know how I feel about indoor plants. I have a little outdoor space. I have, like, nice plants, and they make me very happy to have them because it looks like, it's kind of not city-ish.
You like your plants, Jimmy.
Yeah, let's not try and fight it. You are really fucking into plants.
Yeah, I have a plant fetish.
Yeah, you...
I whack off to Little Shop of Horrors. No, but indoors, like, I had a tree for years. It just got, like, all withered and brown. And I just felt too bad. Like, I'm getting weird as I get older. Like, I feel shitty killing anything. And I'm like, if a plant dies, I have a cactus. My accountant sent me a cactus.
I was just going to say, you should get a cactus.
I do. They're great. Yeah. They don't, but I was in Arizona recently. Here's the, you want to talk about bad stories?
Yes.
I was going to say the car snow story suddenly.
Yeah, it's not that bad, is it now with Mia?
That's going to seem like Dr. Zhivago compared to my fucking cactus story.
Stick around, Mia. The story's not so bad.
They said it takes 75 to 100 years for a cactus to sprout one of those little arms. And scene.
Can I put my head through the fucking wall now?
Yep. Whoa. That's the whole story.
My mind just...
See yeah. That? Please. Yeah. And you wow. Wonder why am I single? I mean, how do women not line up with stories like that?
That's not exciting, but that is interesting.
It is interesting. That is fact. Interesting. That's what I'll say to a woman as I see her zoning out while we're at dinner.
I thought you were going to say during sex. As I see her zoning out during sex.
She better not for the money I'm spending. But yeah, you just try to throw an interesting factoid. Do you know a cactus can live to be 150? Sure, go use the restroom.
So with the MMA, you just watch, you're a casual fan, you would say? Or you watch all the pay-per-views, most of them?
I would say that I am a casual fan. I obviously have my favorites that I like to watch, but I'm not, you know, stopping my life to tune into every single...
Any fighters in particular?
You must like Anderson Silva.
Yes, big Anderson Silva fan. And I got to see him at the last time he fought at 208.
In Brooklyn.
Yes, I think it was 208.
Yeah, no, that's right.
Which was awesome. I had a little fan moment because I think he's great. Yeah. I think he's super great. And even though that was not one of his best fights.
I thought he should have lost that fight. Derek Brunson, I felt, beat him, yeah.
Really?
And I love Anderson. Yeah, but I felt that he lost that fight. Yeah.
I mean, I'm biased because I was just like, wow, Anderson Silva.
Yeah.
But I think he's great. I do. Yeah, I have some favorites, definitely.
I imagine.
Give me another one. You're under the hot lights now, Mia. Let's see.
I mean, okay.
Who is it?
Obviously.
Huh?
I'm going to say John Jones. He's a favorite. Yeah. John Jones is a favorite. Jones.
You tend to like guys that have good stand up, and it seems like she probably likes guys that can clinch.
Controversy?
Yeah, and controversy.
I am. I do. I think I have a soft spot for the controversy as well. Tyron Woodley.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Another favorite. Just as an athlete. We actually have the same, one of our trainers is the same. So, I think he's a hell of an athlete.
He is, yeah. And he got a lot of criticism. Awesome. He's great. A lot of criticism for that last fight against...
Again, I like the controversy.
You do.
Yeah.
I felt bad for him, too. But
me too. I'm all for that. I think that was...
I did too.
He did what he needed to do.
I also hear the other points too. Like as time went on, when I heard other fighters going, look, you gotta throw more punches than that and try to knock him out.
Well, how about this? Like in other words, if Damian Maia didn't take a step forward, what are we watching? You know what I mean? I mean,
yeah,
that's,
right.
Like, is he going to make something happen, or is he just, hey man, you ain't doing shit to me. I got the belt. I'm gonna keep if you don't do it. Yeah,
yeah. But I don't know. Champs fight to win, right? Like
Well, obviously in that one. I mean, he definitely. I mean, not that he's fighting to lose, but this fighting to win and is fighting to make a statement and put people away and entertain. But it all goes hand in hand with the business. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Do you like boxing as well or no? Only MMA.
I do like boxing. I do. I don't follow it as much for sure. Obviously, I watched.
Mayweather and McGregor.
Right. Yeah,
I did too. It was looked better than I thought it was going to be. Better than the last.
Really?
Yeah, much better than I thought. I thought it was going to be a shit fight, and it was great. I enjoyed it. Did you not like it?
I thought it was going. I was all for McGregor, and I totally thought he was going to knock him out in the fourth round. And yeah,
well, you thought McGregor was going to knock out Mayweather?
Absolutely.
I like her. She's
absolutely. I did. So in that sense, it was a little anticlimactic, but yeah.
I didn't think you were knocking. What do they call it? A homer? Like someone who kind of roots for their team? Like you believed in Conor and you wanted...
I believed in him. And I think that's also the magic of Conor is that he gets people to believe in him, even his opponents, to some degree. You question. You think like, is he really? Can he do... But the fact that questioning is even implanted in your mind is the Mystic Mac.
Well, right? That's what we've talked about too. Like guys that can... There's a lot of guys that are probably just as good a fighter, but he fucks with you so much and he gets in your head so much.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a few guys that he can't do that to, and those guys hold up. But like Nate Diaz, he can't do that to. Ferguson, he will not be able to get in Tony's head because Tony's a fucking lunatic. Mm-hmm. Like guys like that. But guys, if he can get in your head...
It's over.
So few people that are willing to just say outright, I'm going to knock him out in the second round. He won't get past the fourth round, whatever. Like, you just to add that pressure to yourself, there's very few people that want to do that, but he doesn't care.
It's like if you're with a woman and she's like, you're never going to be as good as my ex. And you're like, and you try, you know what I mean? And you try anyway. And then she says, see, I told you, Jim.
You said that whole story as if that's happened.
Yeah, I know. No, I even mentioned my own name. How cute of me. Yep.
I'm sorry.
Jimmy.
Okay, I'll move on.
No,
I'll
it's
stop
okay.
Laughing.
Oh, you can laugh. Okay. It's fine. It's part of my fetish. There are guys that have that being laughed at fetish. I don't get it. There are guys that have that. They want
a being
be
a, laughed at fetish? What the fuck?
It's humiliated. No?
Humiliation?
Dominatrix shit you're talking about.
But I don't even mind that. Like, that's not like being smacked or... There's guys that like being humiliated by being laughed at. They have small dick humiliation. Like they like videos of women pointing and laugh. It's crazy.
That I've never heard of that in my whole life.
How is that?
That's so somebody crazy. Around.
It is crazy.
So their version of porn is like watching a crowd of people pointing and laughing.
Or a woman pointing at a guy and criticizing his small penis. Or even if what they call point of view, just into the camera going, ah, ha, ha, ha. Like, I don't find it sexy at all.
Whoa.
But there are... There's something for, I guess, everyone.
Hey, I don't make fun of what you're into, Jimmy.
Hey, I'm not making fun of it.
I'm not mentioning any names. Why are you doing this with your neck pointing towards me, you cocksucker?
Because that's my fetish.
Okay. Listen, whatever you're into.
So do you, and you must attract, like, you know, could you say you attract a weird stalker once in a while? Being tall, a fighter, like, you must attract some kind of bizarre people who think you're going to be a way that you're not. Like,
yeah.
when you go out with guys, are there guys that will expect you to be a certain way that you're like, no, that's just not the way I am?
I don't know. To be honest, I was just having this conversation earlier, but I think people think that, oh, you must get hit on a lot, you know? I really don't. I think it's kind of maybe an intimidation factor of being a fighter, being a chick fighter. I think a lot of guys are very standoffish and it... They feel, what's the word, emasculated?
Emasculated, yes.
well, if they feel you could beat their ass, that's got to be...
Phenomenal.
No, but they're and then you know what it is as well? It's like when situations happen, I don't know if there was like a loud... I would stand up, you know?
Yeah. Oh, you're about to be Wonder Woman.
Yeah. I would do... And they're kind of like, yeah. You know? And it's very... like, I can't deal with that. No one wants a guy who's like a little bitch.
Oh, you don't?
No.
Oh shit! Jimmy just got depressed. God. Jimmy, you're far from
no,
a bitch.
No. I'm happy you're here.
Shit! Time to wrap.
So what if I hide behind someone who can take care of both of us? What's wrong with that? I'll pay for the appetizers. Oh, you defend us.
That's great.
A fair
man.
Trade, I think. But yeah, I know what you're saying. You're an alpha person, and you need like an alpha person. Otherwise, you're
right.
gonna be, you know.
Right.
That's rough too. Sometimes you get two alphas.
Yeah.
Oh no, that's the roughest, I think, because you have constant conflict and constant egos. The payoff is much better, and I think being like two alphas will push each other to be even greater, better than being an alpha with a beta. Then you're not going anywhere.
Yeah, and being an alpha doesn't mean that you're just physically. It's a personality thing, you know. Because I've dated women who are like, you know, small and they're just fucking monsters. Like,
right. Again, it's that like ambition, the drive. There's like certain characteristics I think that define an alpha, as opposed to just physical.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah,
well,
I prove I'm an alpha. I prove I'm an alpha. I'll say things like,
"Yeah,
someday you'll see."
Yeah, Jimmy.
You know, not just
say that at home to your plant and your
nude in the mirror. Believe me, I talk to myself. I didn't realize that everyone does not walk around talking to themselves. I have full blown conversations, and I'm like, it's probably mental. It's great for comedy, but I think like it's not normal, and I didn't know that. No, everyone doesn't do that.
What just at home
by yourself,
alone in my apartment, nude, just walking around having full conversations in my
kitchen. But you mean it's kind of like a monologue, like you're just off on one talking, or you do the conversation? You go like, "So how was your day? My day was great. I don't know is it like an actual conversation like that?
No. It's not like a crazy person. It's almost like acting out arguments or discussions, or going, "Oh no, I think that you shouldn't be doing that." Like little weird moment. I know there's nobody in the room.
I would love to see this, by the way.
That'll get a lot of hits on YouTube.
I really would.
Put a GoPro on or some shit.
Absolutely.
It's totally.
Just fucking do that naked, but just with a helmet on. And just with a GoPro. And
yeah, like
see
a fucking World War II helmet, like an old army helmet, just nude, talking to no one. All right. Well, I have to use the restroom.
Hey, man. Listen,
you were just only supposed to stay for a little while, and you stayed longer, so I hope we didn't make you late.
I'm having fun.
Yeah, you're
That's
a fun person
so awesome.
To hang with.
I didn't realize that until just now.
What, that I'm having fun?
Yeah. Now you're starting to grow on me.
What, you
I was unsure. It was a
really?
Roller coaster. No,
really?
Yeah. Oh, very honest.
It's fun watching two alphas interact, by the way.
It was very, like, if I tell a story, oh, that's riveting.
But that's sarcasm.
Sarcasm.
There you go. That's also part of being British. Let's
sarcasm remember. And being condescending is very close
fine line.
Together.
Yeah.
They're a very fine line. Because it could be perceived.
It's like a Venn diagram.
It could be perceived.
Right.
As, yes. So yes. It depends on how you take it. So Do you have to go to the bathroom, Jimmy?
No, I'm just I'm sitting back to so you guys can have eye contact.
No,
I can
if
enjoy
you had a
this.
Whiteboard, yeah. I'd draw out the Venn diagram. I see what you're saying. I do get it, but again, it's a, I think it's
is it a defense mechanism?
No, I think it's the British thing. To be honest, it's the humor. It's a different type of. It's that you take digs at each other, and it's that banter. You know what I mean?
I like
that.
I
was
good
watching that happen. By the way,
I by the way will say that I've had fun. And I
oh,
think
no,
it's great.
Listen, we had
but
fun.
But I could tell that you weren't feeling me a little then.
Matt got a little annoyed at you, and then you got like a little, you were very quiet, even though you answered questions.
No, I think
you
she
stepped,
was good.
No. She would, but you could I could tell that if you stepped back, like, oh, okay, he's not, a little bit. You
not
were,
feeling my,
yeah.
My
listen,
humor.
We're not here to be best friends with everybody, but tension, I think, is always good. On radio or podcast and shit.
It can
like
be,
that.
Sure.
A little tension, though. Sure. Not that it's crazy tension. No. It's just more like, you know, it was a little, it was some banter. But I'm going to go on the record as we're leaving here. I think it's what she's saying with the sarcasm. It's very, she put up a very good point.
Yes.
Sarcasm and being condescending. What is the, is it, or is it too soon for the sarcasm if you just met somebody?
No. It depends on what the
intention
is.
That might be it. Cause
that
I
might
do,
be it too,
because
I don't know.
I do jump in on these things and I think that I try to get like a dynamic going that we've all the last thing I want to do is come on here and be like, hello, my name's Mia.
Yeah, no,
you know what I mean?
You're not a bobblehead. I like that.
I just try and jump straight in and like.
Well, Mia, I'm happy that you came in and I like that you got some spunk. And I think this was a positive. This is a good question. That is a good question. And we're going to leave the audience in suspense until next time. Do you have anything you want to promote, Mia?
Yeah, but it's your Twitter and Instagram and all that.
Yeah, put
that
out there.
You can follow me at Miss Mia Kang, MissMiaKang, on Twitter and Instagram to stay tuned with all the fun things.
I like it.
Well, you're very fun. Come hang with us again. That was
thank
awesome.
Thank you. That was awesome, guys. Thank you really for fun. Having me.
And I guess we're done. I mean,
what are you plugging, homie?
I'm going to Vegas. I'm at the Tropicana Hotel Saturday night. And I'm in Minneapolis, the Pantages Theater, the following Friday. And then I have another gig. I'm in Town Hall here November 11th. And I got Philadelphia, I got gigs everywhere, so come see me. And then London and Dublin. Ooh. I've never been over there.
Really?
They added a show in
you
London.
Been London to London?
No, I got Manchester, London, and two Manchester, Dublin, and two London shows.
Love
they added
Manchester.
Show.
So
I've
nice
never been to any of these places.
Awesome fans in Manchester.
Yeah, I hope they come out, man. And they just offered me Tel Aviv. I don't know if I'm going to do that. That's just too much flying.
It's so fucking fancy.
Tel Aviv is one of the greatest places I've ever visited.
But I would like to go there for a couple days instead
right.
of going there and then just flying out. You know how it is.
Don't, yeah,
I don't want to just zip out.
Dana White looking for a fight on YouTube.
Yep.
SarahBJJ.com. And Chris, the producer, you got anything to promote?
Go on now.
All right.
Nah, just tune into the show.
You just having a good time, Chris?
I'm having a good time.
Yeah. Okay, good. All right, Mia, thanks so much for coming.
This was a lot of fun.
Thank you guys for having me. Thank you.
All right, let's get out of here. Bye-bye.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
The legend of Cayman Jack is just around the corner. With blue agave nectar, real lime juice, and cane sugar. Discover legendary tastes with America's number one margarita. Premium flavored malt beverage. Please drink responsibly. All registered trademarks used under license by American Vintage Beverage Company, Chicago, Illinois.